Alrighty, we're back, we're live. It's Monday, it's the 9th of June. Leanne is here with me and we're going to be joined in a short while by Des Latham, who's the host of the History South Africa podcast, which is awesome if you haven't heard it. I mean, you have to be a real fan because he gets into unbelievable detail, tells these incredible stories. I love it. And you know, history podcasts are my thing.
Yeah.
There are about 10 that I'm subscribed to and I just love all of them. Eat them up. So, all right, we're here on a Monday. Bad news, I'm afraid, for people who shop on Temu and Shein.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people do. I was saying to someone the other day, why would I go to the shops when I can buy clothing online, especially if I know my sizes? And why would I struggle? Get them to deliver. You don't have to go and deal with smelly people and... You know,
well, I don't know. Sometimes the clothes that come via Shein and Temu are smelly. They do. They come with like a kind of a weird factory smell.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I don't know. I haven't ordered from either.
The reason I bring it up, Leanne, is because SARS is tightening an e-commerce tax loophole, targeting platforms like Temu and Shein to close VAT loopholes and low-value imports. The changes could generate I love the way that the news media in this country write about this as if they were SARS. The charges could generate an extra $3 billion in revenue. No, what you should be saying is, we're going to steal another $3 billion in revenue from you, the South African consumer, because that's what they're doing.
Because the journalist has taken the press release from SARS and not rewritten it.
Stupid, stupid journalist.
So that's what's happening.
So
there.
I don't know which publication this is from, but I'm not particularly interested. We shouldn't be giving them credit for telling us stuff like this. We should be in mourning because South Africans already don't have money. And now these guys are going after people who are trying to save money by ordering things like clothing online.
Yes, but it's not helping people who make clothing here.
It's not my problem. If you're making clothing and you can't make it cheaper than Shein or Temu, then you're not going to be in the clothing business for long. Why should the South African consumer have to pay more and in doing so subsidize you and your clothing business?
Mm-hmm.
Do something else. You know, it seems to me that the only people who lose every time are us, the South African consumers. Mm. Why must we be punished? Because everyone else is trying to get hold of more and more of our money, and especially SARS. I'm not impressed that the Minister of Finance and the Treasury are going to rake in an extra 3 billion rand in revenue every year. I don't care about you and your revenue. In fact, I would like you to rake in zero revenue next month. I would like SARS to completely collapse, and I'm sure very many people in this country could be at very least unemotional about the future of SARS.
And be able to make it to the end of the month on their salary.
You know,
or their wage.
Let's just think about this for a second. They are stealing your money anyway, and you have nothing to say about it because they come after you and they'll put you in jail if you don't. So it's gangsterism. It's extortion, just at a very high level. All tax is theft. They come to you and they go, hand over between 25 and 45% of everything you earn straight away. Before you even get paid, we get paid.
Yeah.
Right? Then they attach all kinds of other costs as well. You've got municipal rates and taxes. You've got water and electricity. You've got, and half the time the water and electricity don't work, but you're still paying for them. You've got tolls for various things. You've got secret taxes here, there, and everywhere. If you have earned money and you've invested that money and your money has grown, you've already paid tax on the money you earned.
Mm.
And then you've taken what's left and you've invested it. They will then capital gains tax what you make off of your good investment that had nothing to do with them because they've been paid off already. But they come at you with a gun again and go, you better pay up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take your money whether you like it or not, like the mob. You better pay up. But I have paid. Pay again.
Inheritance.
This is it. Inheritance tax. There are taxes on all kinds of things. There are taxes on carbon now. There are taxes on sugar now. There are taxes on alcohol and cigarettes, the things that give people a little respite from the ugly reality of living in South Africa. Ha, 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 says the finance minister every year, like we've never heard that joke before. They're going to charge you more for a bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that tax is a scam. Yeah. I don't know if I'm wrong. And then we must celebrate when they also find ways of getting their piece of the pie when we're just trying to find cheap stuff to wear, to put our children in, to
furnish our homes.
To furnish our homes, to do whatever it is that we try to
organize our offices.
So we find a Chinese company that makes sometimes really good, sometimes perhaps slightly shitty stuff. But you're allowed to spend your money as you wish. If you want to spend it on stupid, cheap, nasty shit, then you go ahead. If you want to buy things that are a little more expensive, and for all you know, because China is the manufacturing capital of the world, they are making as good stuff as anywhere else in the world now. It's not like it was a couple of years ago when everybody said, oh, everything's Fong Kong, you know, if it comes from China. They're making very good stuff. In fact, they're making all the stuff.
Yeah.
So what did SARS do? They come in and they take their share. I find this completely disgusting. And then at the same time, our deputy president spent 346,000 rand a night on his London trip recently, using taxpayer money.
Oh.
Paul Mashatile and his spouse spent 346,000 rand a night on accommodation in London, which totaled 2.077 million for six nights during an official trip, raising eyebrows. And what did he bring back? What was this official trip? Do you think Paul Mashatile, if you've ever seen him talk, God bless the man, he's probably a very nice chap, but I cannot imagine him sitting in meetings and going, here are the trade deals we need to tick off this week. And if I'm wrong, I will admit, I'll take him for lunch. I'll have to pay.
360,000 rand lunch.
Can you imagine what he would charge? I will take him for lunch if he manages to, I don't know, bring in millions in trade out of London because of his trip there. Because I don't know what his trip was for, and nobody does. They're not telling us. Apparently, it was all revealed in response to a parliamentary inquiry, which also disclosed. Oh, so this might even have been a long time ago. It might not have been recently. Also disclosed 239,000 rand per night was spent on their Japan trip, with no justification provided for the luxury expenses. We don't have to tell you what we're spending it on. We're going to spend 239,000 rand a night in Japan and 346,000 rand in London, and we're meant to get excited as South African citizens when they tell us SARS is going to now nail you on importing cheap stuff from Temu and Shein. You can understand why people have had enough of this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And don't pay attention to the whole Trump-Musk thing, because I can promise you nothing's going to change. It's not going to change Trump's policies, it's not going to change the American government, it's not going to change the price of Tesla in the long run. People who are distracted by this stuff, what you should be paying attention to is how your government is ripping you off, like I just said. This is way more important than, oh my God, did you see Donald Trump and Elon are having a fight? It's terrible. Right? Sure. It's a great story. It's funny, it's entertaining, but I can promise you it's not a big deal. Have we got Des yet? Oy, oy, oy. I hope we can get him. I see Hanan sent me a message. Said, trying to work on this. James is a national treasure.
Oh.
Yeah, he said you're a national treasure. Well, I think he's being sarcastic, James. Are you ever going to run the Comrades? Maybe one day I'll chase you so with such anger that you'll run the Comrades without even knowing that you've run the Comrades. All right. Now let's talk about a couple other things while we're waiting for Des, and I really hope we can get him this morning. But a fitness trainer in the US didn't go to the doctor for 7 years despite strange symptoms. 7 years. Someone has to explain this to me.
It's an American thing.
But Leanne, 7 years of a strange thing. It turns out, what did she have?
She had an ovarian cyst the size of a baby. I first saw her on TikTok.
Yes, sis.
And I...
Oh, by the way.
It was gross to look at, but now the people have done an exclusive with her.
You got a picture of that ovarian cyst of hers? Oh, my God. We can't even get the picture. You know, I could have done this show from home, and I would have been able to upload the pictures, get the internet, everything. Is that her? She didn't think there was something wrong, but she's got a gunt like that.
She's a physical trainer, and she realized it was starting to impact her job.
Yeah.
She hadn't seen a gynae or any kind of specialist. She'd only seen an optometrist in the past 7 years.
Okay, she looks pretty good in this picture.
That was before.
Was that before?
Yes. But she also, no health insurance. There's a fear of medical bills, a history of negative experiences with doctors. She just
That's all good and well.
Yeah.
But you have to prioritize your health.
100%.
And I'm pretty
sure.
Especially
when it's her job.
And I'm pretty sure you could find a doctor who would just say to you, hey, listen, I think that this is an issue you need to sort out.
She self-diagnosed.
Aye, aye, aye.
And realized that she had uncovered the main cause of her symptoms. She said it was diastasis reti.
She does look like a bit of a hick, though, right? I mean, she's not hideously unattractive. And I mean, apart from that, what would you call that? Like a, it's like a flap, because it's hiding in the pants on the side view.
Mm.
But you can see it's like hangs over on the front view.
Yeah, well, because she's pulled her pants down.
Yeah. How revolting! And that's growing in her ovaries.
Yes. So apparently she's on the path to having it removed. After people on TikTok, of all places, said to her, girl, that's not diastasis recti, which is a split in the muscle in the abdominal.
She's
the tummy.
Been to a doctor since then.
Yes.
She's now got, but she used TikTok people to tell her this as
well. It was TikTok people who forced her to say, are you insane? Get to a doctor.
Wow. I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
If I were a doctor, I would loathe social media. And what's that thing called? What's that website people go to?
Reddit.
No. There's a website people go to, WebMD.
WebMD.
Whatever. And they go there and they self-diagnose. I had a headache once. I went and looked on there. I was like, oh, it's definitely brain cancer.
Yeah.
I've got 3 days to live. You know, you don't know anything. People study for years to be a doctor. And I know AI is going to short circuit a lot of things. It's going to probably diagnose a lot of things faster and better in the long run. But at the moment, your best bet is going to someone who studied medicine at university and has been in practice for some time, and lying down on their table, and they take the thing on your tongue, and they make and then they put the thing in your ear,
mm-hmm.
and they take your temperature.
And they go, breathe for me.
And they say, breathe for me. Those are the things you've got to do. Just do it. And if it costs you half of what you earned that month, it's worth it, because this is your health. There's nothing more important. If you're sick, that's all you think about. If you're well, you never think about it. But if you have a giant ovarian cyst,
mm-hmm.
the size of a baby growing in you.
48 centimeters.
I don't know what to say to you. Like, go to a doctor.
The cyst extends from the left upper quadrant to the floor of the pelvis, measuring up to 48 centimeters.
That's a watermelon.
It is.
That's what that is. It's not a baby. That's a watermelon. Yo.
Yeah.
Lady?
It's like when you watch Dr. Pimple Popper, which I'm sure you would not.
Oh, I could
but
never.
But there are people there that have got blackheads that are in their back, which are like 48 years old.
Leanne, please.
Or they've
stop.
Got some hump. So they've their whole lives, they haven't done anything about it. They're not going to dentists, to gynies, to.
You know, You hear about people who have like rotten teeth and they stay in their mouths. The tooth is there for years. And you think about the sepsis going on there. You talk about a 48-year-old blackhead.
Yeah, it's really bad.
In someone's back.
And the thing is, the only reason why they're getting it removed now is because the show has said to them, we'll pay you or you'll get it removed for free.
So how do they find them, though?
Half of them you can just see. They've got these cysts at the back of their necks.
Do they self-report, though? Do they say, I'd love to be on your show, I've got an enormous...
Or the family usually nominates them because these people have become so reclused.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Because they've got some weird genetic disorder.
So this woman, I'm curious, and I don't know if you know the answer. Maybe it's just going to stay in the ether. If you've had an ovarian cyst like this, it's highly unlikely you'll be able to have children. Surely.
I just kind of lost interest. Yeah. Unfortunately, the doctors had...
No, you were grossed out. You didn't just lose interest.
The doctors had to remove an ovary.
Okay.
And a fallopian tube in the process of pulling out the cyst, which she knew was a possibility. Regarding her diastasis recti, doctors are hoping it heals over time now that it's all been solved. Regarding falling pregnant, I'm not sure that that's something that she wants to do. She said she'll keep up with her yearly checkups and keep a closer eye on her health.
It would be really sad if she had this ovarian cyst, she didn't go to the doctor, and then she decided afterwards she really wanted to have kids and couldn't because she hadn't looked after
herself. If you are the owner of a 48-centimeter cyst...
You must not have children. Are you?
Because if you're neglecting yourself to
that's true. Good point.
And so you can't afford to take yourself to the doctor.
In your opinion, it's a little bit of Darwinism in action.
My goodness.
Right?
Well, she probably will go on to have children. It's the people with one ovary that usually, you know, have these big success stories. No, I'm sorry.
We mentioned this earlier, but I think it's probably worth giving some congratulations to the people who won the Comrades.
Mm-hmm.
And to who won the men's tennis? I know Coco Gauff won the women's tennis at the French Open. Do you know, James? Was it Sinner or was it Alcaraz? Oh, Alcaraz. Very good, because he didn't look like he was going to win near the beginning. When I stopped watching... It looked like Sinner had it. All right. That's very good. So Tete Dijana completed his third Comrades Marathon victory. And Gerda Steyn showed her dominance, claiming her fourth title with trademark strength and composure. So well done, South African ultra distance running champions. I've added the word champions.
So just to
those. Don't think I'm contradicting myself when I talk about the stragglers at the end. Who are crying and vomiting and pooing and, you know, those ones. Anyway, there's also a story that we need to get to because apparently scientists have figured out the personality traits of influencers. I'm sure influencers have the most valuable traits for all of humanity, don't they?
Well, look, there's not much of a surprise when it comes to the personality
types.
What
do we got?
Okay, so... They recruited 800 participants aged 16 and 17. Roughly half were Polish. The other half were based in the UK. They gave them a battery of questions about their career goals, what they wanted to do. And they were also given questionnaires rating their big five personality traits. So those are... These are what were revealed from them.
Okay.
Openness.
Yeah.
Not a bad trait.
Sure.
Conscientiousness.
Sure.
Pretty good. Extroversion.
Some of us are.
Agreeableness.
Mm-hmm.
And then, surprisingly, neuroticism.
Okay, but those are the big five. So how did they score on those? Because those are the parameters for everyone's personality tests.
Those with heightened extroversion, narcissism, and histrionics.
Okay.
A tendency to be dramatic.
Okay.
Were basically more likely to be interested in the influencer life.
Not surprising.
What was interesting is that back in 2019, Lego sponsored a survey that among 3,000 kids in the US, UK, and China, and a full third said they wanted to be influencers. Only 11% indicated an interest in becoming an astronaut.
Wow. And so more people of way a certain more. Age want to be influencers than want to be astronauts or
yeah.
firemen or any of those
things.
Those
are the people they look up to.
Wow.
I mean...
Are there that many... You work in this field. Mm-hmm. Are there that many jobs available for influencers? There are not.
No.
We are full up with influencers. We don't need more, right? We supply is more than enough. Demand is low.
There are occasions. You see, a brand will have different goals in terms of looking at influencers. They'll either want the macro influencer, someone that everybody recognizes and pay them a lot of money to do it. Sometimes they'll want a micro-influencer, sometimes nanos. So when you get to the nanos, but there is the slightest opportunity that you'll be chosen and you'll probably be paid in product.
Which is, you get freebies.
It cannot
being
be.
Being paid in product means you're
being
getting
being an influencer cannot be a career goal.
It's not a job, especially in South Africa, right?
It usually comes with being famous for something else.
Right. I just want to pause you for a moment there. James and Flex... If you're still trying to get Dez, stop, because I'm not talking to him for half an hour. I want a full hour with this guy, so ask him to move it if he can, please. And we'll just, Leanne and I got enough to talk about here, and we've got plenty of comments to get to and lots of other stuff. So just leave it. All right. In 1952, South Africa launched the Defiance campaign against apartheid. We should launch the same against the ANC, says Nunya. That's an interesting idea. I get very disheartened when I see things like this Paul Mashatile story. Such a mature generation, says Slippery Pickle. I think you're talking about the influencers here. E-beggars, that's what they are, says Azalea. You can be an influencer and have no influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Kids go through phases. My kid wanted to be an actress, then a vet for fluffy animals, then a psychologist. Now at 14, she doesn't really know. I had my 5 minutes of fame, but I enjoyed it, even though it was very embarrassing at times. But it made me have some. What are you talking about here, Ruth? When you were an influencer, or when you were on the show, or what was it?
When you came last in the Comrades.
When you came last in the Comrades, you know. I know a woman who named her tumor. She's making friends.
Oh no!
It's not a tumor. Do you remember Arnold?
Yeah.
Not a tumor. Mapelo says, "Who saw Jordan Peterson being grilled by a kid?" No, I haven't seen that, but tell us about it. I always tell patients that Dr. Google has a deal with Avbob, says Dr. Robin. They should rather talk to someone who knows you, who has you in front of them to diagnose your problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. If your personal trainer looks like that chick with the cyst, then you need to check your criteria for picking a personal trainer. Listen, I remember when I started going to gym, there was a trainer at the gym who was fat.
Oh.
He was a big, fat guy, and he had clients.
Mm.
I thought this is outrageous, but clearly he was helping some people, or they wouldn't have kept going to him, right? And I suppose you could be. Could you be a fat personal trainer?
Well, as a fat person myself, if I were to believe in a trainer, I might actually believe the guy who's on his own journey as well and wasn't just born that way.
Okay.
And has good genes. I might respect him more than somebody who's never had a problem with weight saying to me, listen, darling, this is what you must do.
Do you trust thin chefs by the same rationale?
I don't judge chefs based on their
neither
size.
Do I. I don't really care about what size a chef is. If they make nice food. And by the way, I don't even think about food that much. So a chef's job is to make lovely food. So if they make lovely food, I don't even need to meet them. I'll just say, That was great. Thank
you. If a person looks like an almond mom, like a crunchy mom, like that personal trainer before,
yeah,
I wouldn't want her to make me lunch because I'm going to have a green goddess salad or some shit.
Oh.
And I'd want something more substantial.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Keep your taste simple. It's like eating dinner at the neighbor's because your wife's cooking is bad. I'm just saying, says somebody here in the comments. South Africa should consume from South Africa so our economy can grow. America is such a big consumer, they're in trouble. We do not produce and manufacture that much in this country, Wade. This is Wade in the comment section talking about, you know, SARS and the clothing industry. And so we don't actually manufacture a lot here. We don't even refine much of our
We just export
mining.
It immediately.
Yeah, we send it straight away as a raw product and we get paid immediately. We are so short-sighted that we want our money for pulling something out of the ground and that's it. We don't manufacture, we don't process, we don't refine. We're not a service economy. There are parts of it that are, but we're actually really not good at this stuff. So if we had to rely on stuff we make in the country, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we grow stuff and send it off as is.
Well, we have certain sectors of the economy that are very good.
Like all our good tomatoes go to Europe.
Sure, but farming's a different story because there's not much you need to do with...
To an orange.
Yeah, correct. And there are other areas which were pretty... I mean, financial services in this country are in pretty good shape.
Mm.
Banking, you could say, specifically as a part of financial services, is in good shape. I think we have very successful insurance companies who have come up with some very clever and new ways of doing things, proper innovation. And you could argue that there are, you know, certain things that we manufacture that we do quite well, but they're tiny and niched. We need
wine.
To One import. We need to import a ton of stuff. So anyway, let's take a look. We've got a couple of other things here we want to get to. The Jordan Peterson thing was a wreck. It was harder to watch than the Zilla roast. He went there to be a Christian debating atheists, but then he wouldn't admit to being a Christian. Okay. We're a major stakeholder in the motor vehicle manufacturing, e.g. the VW plants in EC, says Melissa.
Hasn't that changed somewhat,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, I mean, we used to be a whole lot more.
Yeah.
I know Mercedes, BMW, Volkswagen, and some others were manufacturing here. Those numbers have declined precipitously. And I saw that we're still talking about the Goodyear tire factory, which say they're going to shut down in South Africa, and we're going to lose jobs. And you know, the trade unions are like, no, you can't shut down. What about our people whose jobs are – if a business is not sustainable, what do you think happens, trade union? You think someone's going to keep the business going just to pay the salaries even though the business is not sustainable?
No, but if there's no money coming in, how are you going to pay the salaries?
They don't think – because this is why they work in a trade union.
They're not doing it. They don't
understand
necessarily
economics.
Want to let go of these people and ruin their lives. There's just no money to pay them.
Carl from PE says, we don't manufacture because government doesn't incentivize manufacturing local – through bad BEE and labor laws and excessive taxing. I am seeing a lot, and maybe it's just the people I'm following, but I'm seeing a lot of criticism of BEE suddenly. I'm seeing a lot of opposition to it from all kinds of places. I read Kaya Dlanga, Penwell, a whole lot of people who I didn't think were massive anti-BEE people starting to go, we need to scrap this thing. And I couldn't agree more. Obviously, no real controversy there. It's a terrible policy. If you look at a chart of what South Africa would be doing without BEE, how it holds back business, it doesn't, by the way, it only helps a tiny percentage of people who are politically connected. We all know this. And it does nothing. The triple B is for broad-based black economic empowerment. No broad-based. It's all people are connected. So we've got to scrap this ASAP. It's not suddenly we just needed someone like Musk to highlight it on the world stage. Yes, absolutely. The person talking about the Jordan Peterson debate has no idea what happened. It was not a Christian versus atheist debate. People love playing gotcha with someone like Jordan. Yeah, people love playing gotcha, full stop. And they love a fight. And people love seeing their side win. And you know how many times I've clicked on something where somebody says, this person absolutely destroys this person. And I watch it and I'm like, no one was destroyed. No. There wasn't even a fight. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's the media for you again. Well, clickbaiting.
It's also fans of a certain person.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Saying that their person destroyed someone. And then you watch it and you're like, no, there was no destruction. That was so civil. Everything was normal. No one got destroyed. No one was that great at arguing. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days of people who I admired from a point of view that you could put them on TV and they would just set fire to everything and take any argument down. People like, you know, Christopher Hitchens and I mean, these were genuinely brilliantly talented orators and thought on their feet and could land a punch like very few people. You don't get that much anymore.
No, and there's also such censorship in place as well, and people are so sensitive.
Yeah. All the lefties going on about three Beanie Boy and Ernst Roots. Oh, is that one on our Piers Morgan appearance? Again, no one landed any significant blows during that discussion. I didn't think so, and I was in it. I'm happy to be contradicted. Gareth Cliff destroyed Leanne Mole this morning, says Congo Chris.
Sure.
Have I? Sure. Did we have an argument?
No. You
did stand up for the runners.
No, I didn't stand up for them.
Yes, you did.
All I said was I read that 600 million rand was generated at last year's.
What lies, Leah?
I don't have the proof. I wasn't the lady sitting at the table selling the tickets and orange juices.
I think you just did exactly what that other idiot journalist did earlier with SARS, the SARS story with this is how much money SARS is going to make off of taxing Temu. You just did the same thing. You took a SARS press release where they said this is bringing 600 million to KwaZulu-Natal economy, and you were like, yeah.
It was actually a comrade's press release, I think.
Well, even worse. Because why should you be giving, why should you be the PR arm for the comrades?
But it was reported on multiple, even the ANC.
How embarrassing, Leanne.
Credited themselves in the story.
The ANC credited themselves. Mm. Well, during the 10 minutes that I watched the comrades, which was.
It was more than me.
Us paralyzingly boring. But during those 10 minutes, I think it was SuperSport, must have been. SuperSport had the mayor of Durban there. And I was like, what a cheek. Like, if I were the mayor of Durban, I'd be hiding. I'd been hiding. I would never pitch up at the comrades and stand there and say, I'm the mayor of Durban. I would be crouching behind
the
bushes going, I hope no one knows I'm here because the people of Durban should physically attack that man. I don't know. I don't know if Durban's any better. Maybe someone can fill me in. But if it is a little bit better, I would love to know. I'd love any good news about Durban. I loved the place once. It saddens me that it's such a mess.
Yeah. But it's not only some of it's beyond, you know, human management.
Everybody last week was talking about Trump and Elon. It was a big story, and a part of me is totally disinterested in it because these are two big egos, these two very powerful, very rich, very important men, and when you put two alphas in a room, they're bound to eventually start going at each other. That's just how it works. I'm surprised that anyone would be surprised by this. I also have a very sneaky suspicion that this may just be them trolling. Like, there might be a 3D, 4D chess game going on here that we're not aware of. I don't think so. Mm. I think they're both just impulsive.
That's it. I was going to say, are they not too impulsive to stick to such a well thought out thing?
Yeah, I don't think they could because they also both you know this, Trump obviously is irascible as hell, right? So if you say something to him, he holds a grudge for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he will see someone in the media and go, oh, you're that fake news journalist from that low ratings news association. He remembers stuff like that. And if you said something that he liked, he's very loyal to you because he thinks you're loyal to him. So it's almost like this very, very primitive idea of if you've demonstrated submission or trust before, that I'll trust you now.
Mm.
You know, that's why he's, I suppose, very picky about who's in his administration this time, because there were traitors last time, people who let him down. But Elon is also like that. I mean, we've mm-hmm. all heard stories about how if he goes into a meeting and says he wants to buy a business and they want $10 million more than what he's offering, he just gets up and
he'll
walks
just
out.
Do it, yeah. Yeah. Or not do it.
No, he just gets up and walks out, and he'll get into the lift and ask someone what they do at his company, and they'll say, because they're nervous, because they're talking to Elon Musk. It's a big deal. And then he says, you're fired. So he's very impulsive. And they're both high energy, complicated people. So, of course, they're going to have disagreements and fallouts. Just remember that for all those people who are thrilled about this and think it's great because it's going to be the collapse of Trump's presidency, it's not. Elon was only hired for 130 days or whatever. So he was already on his way out long before this fight broke out.
Mm.
And he only became a Trump supporter a year ago?
Yeah.
It's probably a year ago when he jumped on that train. Remember, he was still supporting Democrats and paying for their campaigns before that. Elon was not a Republican, and he certainly didn't like Trump. He supported Joe Biden in the last election. So everybody who's getting excited about this, you have a very shallow memory of history. And maybe that's why this is such a big story to you, because you think it's exciting and it's going to make your dreams come true, and you really don't like Donald Trump or you really don't like Elon. Maybe the best news to come out of this is that all those left-wingers can now buy Teslas again and they can stop firebombing other people's Teslas. You know, that could be a very good plus thing out of this. And I know that the Tesla share price dropped down and people were saying, oh, well, this is the end of Elon. It's not the end of Elon. It's not the end of Donald Trump. You're still going to be outside the tent mm-hmm. whining about how these two guys are changing the world.
And there'll be something else that comes up anyway.
Of course. We're already moving on.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how long were we in the headlines when Trump and Ramaphosa met? Like a week? And then it was over. These days, it's not so much that something embarrassing is going to happen or that something bad goes on in the news. It's that you just have to outlast
attention span.
That week of attention span where people will be paying attention to you. Once you've outlasted that, you just carry on as usual. People don't even remember. They don't care.
Mm.
They just move straight on. Maybe it's Trump's long game to help with the plummet of Tesla stock. Who knows? I mean, I would love this to be some elaborate game that they're playing, that they have some plan that the rest of us
strategize.
Yeah, that the two of us are just too stupid to work out.
Yeah.
And you and Leanne and I are going to sit here in a week's time and go, oh, whoa, that's amazing.
They did have a plan.
No, we're too stupid to understand it, but well done, guys. News cycles move so quickly, just distract them long enough that they miss the key stories, Dirk could say. Yeah. Who's paying attention to Russia-Ukraine right now? So the Ukrainians blew up a whole bunch of Russian planes with drones.
Yeah.
They drove a truck up. It's the most amazing story. If you haven't heard it, I'm sorry if you have. Let me just repeat for the sake of those who don't know. This dude, like a farmer or something, obviously he was an agent for Ukraine.
A bloody agent.
He drives a truck into, I think it's Siberia somewhere, where they've got all of these Russian planes that were carrying out the bombing raids in places like Kiev. Not all the planes, but a substantial number of them. The back of the truck opens up, and a whole bunch of drones, cheap drones, fly out. I mean, cheap compared to military aircraft, right? And they fly over this Russian airfield, and they take out all of the planes. Probably 30?
Yeah.
Maybe 40, maybe 50. Amazing. And then, obviously, Russia's been retaliating. They've been bombing Kiev. They've been making territorial incursions in the Crimea. But I don't know how many people are paying attention to that, because they'd rather talk about Elon and Trump having a bust up.
Yeah,
it is bizarre, right? This shows you how people's attention is focused on all the wrong things.
As soon as there was attention on Gaza, excuse me, people started falling away from following Russia
anyway. Yes, absolutely. Well, Gaza's old news, right? No one's... You can't summon up anyone with enough energy to talk about Gaza right now. They've tried.
Yeah.
And then it's Mexican and illegal immigrant riots in LA. And that'll be the story for the week, and then it'll be over. If I have to ask you a year ago, what was in the news a year ago? I don't think a lot of people would be able to pull that information. Mm-hmm. Just out of memory. You could obviously ask ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Temu drones, says Tracy. They worked for 10 minutes, which ended up being all the minutes they needed. Well, this is the point, right? You don't need... And I don't think military spending is going to be anything like what it is now. You know, you have to pay for expensive jets and aircraft carriers, and you've got military defense budgets that are through the roof, and you could make 100 drones for the price of a tenth of a military fighter jet, and it could do so much more for you than that jet ever would.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're also... Tech platforms, you know, like cyber warfare and things like that.
Yeah.
That can put you to shame in a few seconds.
Christian says, I'm not sure complicated explains them. They seem rather simple to understand. Anyone could have seen this coming. They're obviously talking about Trump and Elon.
Maybe they'll surprise us.
Yeah. Let's just wait
and
see.
I don't see them working on some... long-term...
No, dastardly plan.
No,
but at the same time, I
don't have the patience for that.
At the same time, I'm just not impressed by people who suddenly are Team Elon or Team Donald, but the other day they were Team both. And the people who are taking way too much joy out of this because they think it's the collapse of all the things they hate. It's not going to be. I've got very bad news for you. Anyway... Gareth, did you see the video, says Carl DeSantos, and maybe you did, Leanne, of Meghan Markle twerking to induce labor? It's so cringe. It's so bad.
I saw, again, the headline, did not go further.
No, I'm not, yeah.
His no.
Wild horses could not drag me to a Meghan Markle story, but James does have something I want to show you. James, you got those things I sent? So first of all, show Leanne the tourist... nightmare, as Corfu Hotel had no English food and not enough hot chips. Here's the woman. Her name is Susan Edwards. She said she had a nightmare holiday, Leanne, because they didn't have enough chips.
No, that can't be real.
That's real. Yes, it is. Doesn't she look...
That has to be AI.
Nope. James and Flex just both went, fuck.
No, come on, you're kidding
me. Yes, Leanne, yes. That's a real person. There she is, not enough English food.
But fashion choices, you know, can't call it fashion, but putting flowers next, it just creates a massive juxtaposition. Makes it worse.
But I'm most amused.
Like if you wore a shirt that was full of turds,
Leanne,
you might come off better.
I'm most amused at the color... the tone of her skin.
No, that has to be. That looks
it's
like
not
it's been
AI,
doctored.
It hasn't.
It does. Look at the top.
No, Leanne, it hasn't. It hasn't been doctored. That's how she looks.
No. Come on, where are your resources coming from?
Her name is Susan Edwards. Just trust me on this one, Leanne, okay? Susan Edwards. And the photograph was taken by Ian Buist at the Newcastle Chronicle. Just trust me. They're my source. You asked for my sources. And that was published in the Mirror, okay?
Okay.
So I've given you I gave you the photographer's name. Look him up. I mean, it might be bullshit. Who knows? Gave you the photographer's name. I gave you the picture of Susan Edwards. She went to Corfu. I mean, what's not to love?
News.
You know what's funny is that that woman thinks this is a tourist nightmare. I mean, her nightmare is that they had no English food and not enough chips. That's a nightmare. That qualifies as the worst experience she could have.
Imagine going to, say, Portugal and not being able, all it's full of is English food and chips. That would be a nightmare. And not being able to have traditional fish dishes.
Oh, come on.
Prawn curries.
So Tracy says, gosh, she looks like a human hemorrhoid. Can't believe I just went there.
Gosh. Yeah. Looks like you could just nip it off with a pair of scissors.
That image is altered, says Jody. She agrees with you. Definitely 100%. Photoshopped. I can tell it's what I do, says MN. All right, guys. I mean, argue with that photographer, Ian Buist, okay?
It's not him, shame. It's whoever's done the work to it afterwards.
All right. So, see, this is how
Oh, no.
The last hot dog at the gas station be like, and they do look like that.
Now, isn't it weird that this, I believe, could be real?
That is real, Leanne. I think everything's real. You know, everybody goes, you must be suspicious. I have a different philosophy. I now believe everything I see.
Oh, really?
What about the aliens?
The 600 million at the Comrades?
No, I don't believe that because it came from you. See, I know better than to trust you on that sort of thing. Maybe it is. I did say it's possible, but I can't imagine how 600 million makes its way to Pietermaritzburg. Just doesn't seem right. It's possible, but it doesn't seem right. That woman lying down there in the sun like the last hot dog at the gas station, that's real, 100%.
You know, if she looked any different, that's the thing bad. That would have got you was the way she was lying down, right?
Yeah.
The pose.
Oh,
but that's like really not a problem. It's everything else.
I've got something really interesting. Two interesting things to show you. And I'm sorry we haven't had Des Latham. We've had such internet issues all morning, but at least we got the show going.
Mm.
What are the most popular names for girls and boys? And I don't know for South Africa, but I've got them for America. Do you want to guess? Because it changes. Obviously, you know, certain names become very fashionable at a certain time. All right, so take a look at this.
At this birthday party for five-year-olds, for instance, there was a lot of Leo.
Oh.
And I've heard as well, not only at this birthday party, but Josie for a girl.
Okay.
Sort of very simple short names.
I've heard a lot of Leos and Josies too. Okay, so it obviously depends. Your language is important here. You know, if you're Zulu, you're not going to call your child
Josie
or Leo. But in America, they do this research all the time. So they've looked at a list from about 1930. Look at this. So the boys' names are at the top and the girls at the bottom. So back in the year 1930 until 1940, Harold and Betty were the most popular names.
Hello, Harold.
And Betty.
Betty.
Yeah? Right? So, you
makes
know, when,
sense.
But when you meet someone who's of a certain age and they're called Harold or Betty, you're not surprised.
Yes.
The next. They saw a huge increase in popularity of the name Larry and the girl's name Judith.
Mm-hmm.
Judith. That became a big, big thing. Then Deborah became the name of the 1950s. Deborah was the most popular name.
Yes.
And for the boys, Bruce.
Okay.
I wouldn't have guessed that, but there we go. Then in the 1960s, the name Todd. Very American.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is America. So, I mean, you know. Take it from whence it comes. And Tammy. Todd and Tammy. That was the 1960s. The 70s, most popular boy's name was Chad.
Another Todd type name.
Yeah. And Jennifer. Jennifer became massively popular in the 70s.
I mean, if you think about how many Jennifers we know in Hollywood alone.
Absolutely. All round about that time, the 70s. And then Amanda in the 1980s became the most popular name. Dustin for boys.
Mm.
In the 1990s, Cody and Brittany ended up being the most popular names. And then this is amazing. In the 2000s, you had Ethan as the most popular boy name.
Yeah.
And girl named Madison.
Mm,
and there are a lot of Ethans and Madisons in the media at the moment. You could, you know, you go through a couple of articles in the news, you see people on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. There's a lot of Ethans and Madisons. And then suddenly it changes in 2010, popularity of Aiden and Sophia.
Yes, okay.
Right.
There was a Sophia relative of mine.
Right.
5-year-old as well.
There we go. And then the most recent ones, 2020 onwards, for boys, Oliver, and for girls, Amelia.
Hmm. Yeah, I can tell a lot of crunchy almond moms had a say in those names.
I don't know what that is.
The ones that feed their children celery.
That's a novel concept to me that you brought up now this morning twice. Yeah, I didn't know about almond moms.
You know, they've been they've been around for a while.
Okay. Well, you're teaching me things.
The child who's never had a grain of sugar in their lifetime.
Okay. So
their fruit juice is diluted.
Super health conscious moms.
Yes.
Okay. I do think that our names, certainly these American names, I think they're getting better. I like the names Madison, Sophia, Amelia far more than I like Betty, Judith, and Deborah. Right?
Todd and Chad.
Yeah. And if I think about the names that were used around the time I was born and you were born, Chad, Dustin, Jennifer, Amanda, not really.
Mm.
I like what's happened since. Cody, Brittany, Ethan, Madison, Aiden, Oliver. Oliver's such a great name. Amelia, what an awesome name. I love these names. So I think that we're getting better. No more Harolds, okay? No more Bettys, no more Tammys, no more Todds. Let's keep moving.
It'll probably go full circle, though.
All of a sudden, those names will
come back in fashion.
Well, I mean, Jennifer has remained very popular throughout, if you look at the graph. Jennifer's remained very popular. Larry has stuck around a little longer than we would have thought. It has.
Larry's not great. It reminds me of old Hollywood.
Here's Larry. Larry King. That's all it reminds you of, right? Let's just show that woman who had a nightmare in Corfu again, just for people who might have missed it. Because, there we are. That's beautiful. I wonder what her name is. Susan. That's what they say it is.
If you zoom in again, you'll see.
Oh, come on. No, we don't need to see that again.
And there's, what's that alien thing I've just seen
Leanne,
at the top?
Just don't interrogate the information I bring you out of the kindness of my heart. And then I thought this was interesting, worth looking at. Ozempic penis.
Oh, dear. Right. Is that a thing?
Apparently. So this is a story that I thought maybe interested you. So Ozempic penis is explained as a study shows average penis size is increasing by a substantial amount.
Increasing.
So apparently people who are injecting themselves with Ozempic, this is what the story purports to tell us.
Yeah. Mm.
People who are injecting themselves with Ozempic because they want to lose weight are growing much bigger penises.
You don't grow penises.
Leanne, I can only tell you what.
The only time you're growing your penis is when you are a boy.
You are so argumentative today. All you want to do is argue with me. Everything I say to you, you just contradict. You are so difficult. Did you have a rough day? Did you not sleep well enough last night? You're so grouchy with me. I'm just telling you about Ozempic penis and all you want to do is fight. So here's what I know.
Yes.
They say that Ozempic penis is a thing that is making penises bigger.
Right. How?
People who know better than me are saying no. It's because people are thinner, their penis looks longer.
And because you can see it for the first time from the top.
Or that there is some kind of diabetes-related thing that might have to do with, or it's blood pressure, and the blood pressure creates better blood flow.
Yes.
I'm no expert in this. But there is such a thing as Ozempic penis.
Okay.
Apparently.
Now I'm understanding. So.
Right.
Because losing weight, let's not say it's Ozempic, because any of those drugs that help you lose weight.
Will make it look
which
bigger.
You're supposed to be taking if you're pre-diabetic anyway.
Right.
Those, it's the weight loss.
Yes.
And the, because, and the weight loss which produces healthier results in your blood pressure.
Yes.
Okay. Right. You're losing the fat around the mons.
Now you, look how well
and
we,
that's why you
look
can
how
see.
Well we get along if you just don't argue with me the whole time. And then to wrap things up this morning, I found a lovely video. You know how we like finding foreign people who sing?
Yes.
There's lots of Dutch people have made their debut on the show. And
mm-hmm.
So this is a German called Olaf der Flipper.
Nice. Obviously his real surname.
Yes.
Okay.
Why, you don't believe me? Again?
I don't know. I'm scared to believe
Olaf der Flipper. And he has a song called Drinking Wine, Feeling Fine.
Oh, nice.
Which I thought
I
was a nice
like
one
that.
for your birthday week.
Yes.
Because you're actually only celebrating your birthday week this week.
Yes, no, yes, of course.
So here's to wrap up the show this morning, here's Olaf der Flipper and Drinking Wine, Feeling Fine, all for Leanne for her birthday over the weekend. And we will see you on Wednesday at 6 a.m., bright and early. I'm sorry that we couldn't get Des on, that we started a little late this morning. But, you know, we were trying to get the internet up and running. Thank God we had a show at all. Leanne and I are sitting here.
Blame it on the weather.
We were sitting here looking at each other and finding reasons to fight from 5:45 already. But here to cheer us up and to leave us on a high note is Olaf der Flipper. Drinking wine, feeling fine, summer, summer, sunshine. Und dann das Bein in der